It has been an uneasy few weeks for the Vatican City. On the 11th of February, Pope Benedict XVI announced his resignation as the head of the Catholic Church. Historically, popes make their final exit from the Vatican in a coffin, and after a period of mourning, are laid to rest in the crypt of St. Peter's Basilica. But not Pope Benedict. He is the first pope to resign since the year 1415. He says he is too old to continue at the age of 85. After the Pope announced his resignation, Britain's most senior Catholic cardinal, Keith O'Brien, talked about who he would choose to be the new Pope.
I will respond as well as I possibly can to the will of God for me at this time, and to the will of God for the Roman Catholic Church at this time, choosing the best person I possibly can, writing the name of the best possible person on my voting paper, and knowing that the person whom I choose will be assuming increasingly heavy responsibilities, not just for the Roman Catholic Church, but in some ways for the world itself, because of the Pope being such an outstanding public figure all over the world.
However, on the 18th of February, Cardinal Keith O'Brien resigned after reportedly being ordered to quit by the Pope amid allegations of a sex scandal. In a statement, the Cardinal said, "Looking back over my years of ministry, for any good I have been able to do, I thank God. For any failures, I apologise to all whom I have offended." The Pope stepped down himself earlier this week on Thursday the 28th of February. So now the Catholic Church is without a figurehead and has lost its most senior cardinal. To discuss what this means for the Catholic Church, I'm joined by David Willey, the BBC's Vatican correspondent and alumnus of Queen's College, Cambridge. Welcome to the programme.
Thank you very much.
We're talking about a very rare set of circumstances here, aren't we?
The Church is at something of a crossroads because after having a what they regard as a very successful papacy, that of John Paul II, who died in 2005 amid great mourning and a lot of huge numbers of people came to Rome for his funeral. We've had a rather lacklustre papacy of the former Joseph Ratzinger, who took the name of Benedict, as he's a Benedictine. He's disappointed a lot of people in the church by his failure really to deal in a strong way with the scandals which have broken out. First of all, the scandals concerning sexual abuse by priests in the United States, in Britain, in Ireland, in many other countries. He's had to face a financial crisis and scandal at the Vatican Bank, which has been accused by international regulators of failing to act with due diligence against accusations of money laundering. He's had to deal with a whole series of very serious small insurrections by Catholic priests, among them in Ireland, in Austria, and in Germany, who want they regard the his ban on discussions of priestly celibacy as outmoded. They want an open discussion of such an important matter. And the Vatican view under both John Paul and Benedict was the matter is closed. It's not open for discussion. So I think many Catholics would, in various parts of the world, would like to see a fresh breeze blowing through the Vatican. The problem is that the candidates most likely to be chosen for Pope are all Benedict's men or John Paul's men, and are people very much in line with their sort of thinking. And so it would be foolish to think that you're going to have a reformist Pope elected quickly here. I think that's wishful thinking.
And how is a new Pope selected?
Well, all the cardinals, electors of the Roman Catholic Church, have been called to Rome. They're due to, there's 115 altogether, and they're holding their first general meeting on Monday morning, and the first matter on the agenda will be to select a day for the opening of the conclave. It's expected that that'll be towards the end of next week. And the conclave is simply a word which means with a key, they lock themselves into the Sistine Chapel. And until they reach a consensus, until one of the candidates gets two-thirds of the vote, they're sequestered from the rest of the world. They have to hand in their cell phones. They're not allowed to communicate with anybody in the outside world until they have reached a consensus and elected the next pope. And that, no one knows how many days that could take. It, last time it took 4 days. This time there could be, it could go on for longer. I mean, if you look back in history, there were some conclaves which went on for 2 years. I think that's pretty unlikely. There will be a fairly rapid decision, I'm sure.
What does the resignation of Cardinal Keith O'Brien mean for the Catholic Church?
I think it's embarrassing. I don't think it's... I think it's embarrassing in Scotland. I think that it's also slightly embarrassing for Britain here not to have any... voting representative. We have Cardinal Cormac Murphy O'Connor here, who's the retired Archbishop of Westminster, but he doesn't have a vote because last year he reached his 80th birthday, and one of the rules of voting in the conclave is that cardinals over the age of 80 are disqualified from voting. So you have to be under 80 years old to take part in this process.
And who do you think is the most likely candidate?
Difficult to say. I mean, there's been many suggestions. Is this a moment for the first African pope? There is an African who is the head of the Justice and Peace Commission inside the Vatican. He's called Cardinal Turkson. He comes from Ghana. He's well regarded. But my own feeling is that the time is not yet ripe for an African pope, although I wouldn't exclude it at some time in the future. I think there is a chance that we might get a Latin American pope for the first time. But again, I think that the Italians are the most powerful and numerous members of the College of Cardinals, and they will make a big effort to get one of their own elected pope to take part after having had two foreigners, namely John Paul II and Benedict, running the affairs of the Church for the past 35 years. Don't forget that more Italians than any other nationality have been popes if you look back in history. And I think they're slightly worried about the prospect of yet another foreign pope being elected. I think that they would very much like to get back in control in the Vatican. But all this, of course, is pure speculation. The cardinals are sworn to oaths of secrecy, and they're faced with a very severe penalty, excommunication from the Catholic Church, if they should reveal any of the secrets of the conclave to anybody outside.
What do you think people of Catholic faith would like to see from a new pope?
Well, I think they'd like somebody who would show courage in tackling the various problems which have arisen during Benedict's pontificate. He's old and tired. He ran out of steam. He just couldn't cope. And you need somebody who is a bit more vigorous. And the argument of having of not appointing a young pope, which after the death of John Paul, who'd reigned for 26 years, there was naturally some hesitation in electing a younger man. But I think this time they do need a feeling that they do need a younger pope, even if this means he's going to reign for many years. And of course now, as Benedict has set a precedent that it is possible for a pope to resign, why not have a younger man and set an age limit for the papacy, just as there's an age limit for bishops and an age limit for voting in the conclave.
David Willey, thank you for joining me.
Pleasure.
So the future of the Catholic Church and the direction it will take is uncertain. The world looks on to see who the cardinals will elect as the new pope. Chris Barrow reporting for CAMFM News.